And I have here in the studio with me Kaya Sand of the Watcher Files Project. Welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour, Kaya.
Thank you, Norm.
I'll do a brief introduction. Okay. I know Kaya from a couple of books of poetry, and that would be Remember to Wave and also Landscapes of Descent with Jules Boykoff, subtitled Guerrilla Poetry and Public Space. Some of the themes in her poetry that I've recognized would be what ties us all together, ambiguity, another kind of theme, and as you've heard, the importance of public space. But I know Kaya also is a performance artist. So first of all, Watcher Files Project. What are the files?
So these are files. These are police investigation files that are housed at the city archives, and they're also referred to as the Red Squad files, but these are sort of the later decades of the collection of files that are at the archives from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, when police spies basically collected surveillance on activist and civic groups in Portland.
Let's not leave that past tense, of course. I've been here since 1979 and in the Northwest, and we've had three different cycles now where it's exposed one way or another that there's a Red Squad and that it's keeping tabs on political activists unconstitutionally and in violation of Oregon law. And they always say, well, that's in the past, and we're not doing it anymore. And then it's exposed again. Mm-hmm. And like I say, three different cycles. So this is one of them. Earlier. And you remember that it was a really interesting story how these files, how we discovered them.
Yeah, they were discovered in a barn mildewing away with mice droppings among them and anonymously donated to the Portland Tribune newspaper. So that's where they were first exposed in a series of articles. And then the city archivists read those articles and championed making these files public. So they're actually, you know, available for anyone to go in and look at.
So it sounds like in the first place, we owe a debt of thanks to Kaya for working her way through mice droppings.
Well, I think the debt of thanks goes to the archivists who actually clean them up.
How do you convert files like that into a performance piece?
Well, just to back up a little bit, tonight, Gergi Mantani and I are going to open an exhibit of work, and it comes from a city residency, an artist residency at the archives. So the archivist Diana Banning, who at the city archives had this vision of trying to open up who uses the archives, you know, and I'm sure a number of the listeners use archives, but she wanted to make sure that artists came in and thought about, you know, what to do with these sort of uninterpreted documents. So Garrick and I, for the more than a year, have been working through these city files and thinking about ways that we could make work. And what we ended up coming up with is our poetry and artwork that really, I'd say, runs along two themes. And one of them is commemorating anonymous activist efforts. And the other theme would be maybe the flip of that. And that's thinking about some very specific activist efforts and how to take what was, you know, sort of a, had a kind of an ill intent in terms of surveillance and flip it around. I kind of think of it as like the phoenix from the ashes. You know, how do we make something out of that? So some of the work comes from actually collaborating with some activists.
That's your thinking behind what you'll be doing. Mm-hmm. Give us a sense of what to expect.
So if you go to the exhibit tonight or any day between now and December 5th at the North Portland branch of the Multnomah County Library.
On North Killingsworth.
On North Killingsworth, yeah, 512 North Killingsworth. What you can expect to see is artwork that you actually, by and large, can touch and open and interact with. There's a cabinet in there that the drawers open into artwork. Poetry is inscribed on the sides of it. There are bookshelves with more language inscribed on the top of them, but they're full of books that several activists actually curated for us of recommended reading. So it's books that informed their thinking over the years. And there's You know, there's a drawer of poetry that's pounded into index cards that you could thumb through like you might be doing in the archives.
Pounded in,
sledgehammered in. It's the most fun way to write poetry is with a sledgehammer, I've discovered. And there's...
You heard it here first on the Old Mole Variety Hour. Yeah, a new approach to poetry.
It's the way to make it dangerous, right, at least for the poet. The poet's thumb. And then there's Garrick Imatani created the whole cabinet in the shape, actually, of several protest routes that were overlaid, the maps that we found in the files, as a kind of gesture toward what if we could read our whole city in terms of how the ground has been, you know, walked in protest. And of course, you know, we only came across so many protest maps, but he overlaid those and created actually the shape of the cabinet in the shape of several protest marches.
That's really interesting. I occasionally lead tours, like for high school kids or for labor folks who come to town, of historical events or labor history that's occurred here. And it gives people, especially the high school kids, it gives them a whole new sense of the city. It gives them a whole new sense when they realize that events that are significant took place right here where they're used to walking by.
Yeah, I know you and I really hold, I think, that interest in common, and Garrick also holds that interest of sometimes we think about it as how to make visible what's invisible, but sometimes it's just transforming what's invisible into something else that's, you know, not necessarily what was, because that's impossible, but it's some kind of creative effort, at least to salvage and reconstruct in an interesting way.
Things that were important to us, things that inspired us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You mentioned that you expect that some of the listeners will be familiar with the archives. My guess is even more of the listeners will find themselves in those files.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if they want to go down to the city archives, it's downtown. Actually, it's on 6th Avenue and Southwest Montgomery, right on the MAX line, the green line. And it's on the fifth floor of the PSU Rec building. So it's open, you know, it has specific reading room hours, but the archivists are very accommodating, so people can go in and, you know, as long as they observe archivist protocol, they can read the
records. No smoking.
And I should say that through this residency, part of it was working with the constraints of working in archives. So we had the same access that anyone else in the city has. So, for instance, one thing that came of that that was interesting is that Garrick, you know, wanted to work with photography, but he couldn't just take the photographs and the negatives out of the archives. So he actually very creatively transformed the conference room in the archives into a dark room, and he made prints out of the negatives that were in the archives, right in the archive space.
Who are some of the other collaborators?
So, the bookshelves that we curated with activists were done by Kent Ford, who is a founder of the Portland chapter of the Black Panther Party, Lloyd Marbette, who decades of working as a citizen intervener on behalf of the danger of the people in the area in terms of the dangers of nuclear power. Joanne Alexiak, who has really worked on a lot of different issues, but including nuclear munitions and nuclear disarmament. And so just a few of the things that we made with them, with Joanne, Garrick and Joanne created a table that has BBs inside of it that Joanne's going to pour in tonight as part of our opening to account for all the nuclear weapons in the planet. And Joanne and I actually made these very, very, very small books, inch by inch books, of drawings that she did for activist flyers over the years. And a number of these we found in the files. They're drawings both from, you know, white train actions and other actions around Hanford, but also there was a radical school in the 1980s that some listeners might have been a part of, the Red Rose School, and she did amazing little drawings for that. And actually, as a sort of special takeaway, if you come to the opening, you can have a little book of Joanne's drawings.
This is radio, of course, so you can't see it, but Kaya is simultaneously thumbing through yeah. these tiny little books.
Yeah, just, and thanks to Patricia Welch, who's the librarian there, who is a visionary about bringing art into the space, I should say.
Wonderful. This has been Kaya Sand. This is the Watch Your Files project.
All right. Thank you so much, Norm.